Welcome to The Ziegler Show. I'm your host, Kevin Miller. This is our habit show. What we prioritize and work towards what we give the most value in our lives. So how about assigning intentionally empowering meanings and value to the things that really do matter to us in our lives? This is a mental habit of Rock Thomas, which he shares with us here in our habit show. Rock was our guest in show 675, where our focus was changing the way we see ourselves. Other things we hit on in this show, he's 56 and he can do 57 push-ups. He's in prime health. He grew up in a family with not really any good habits, he says. So healthy relational habits have been a weak area for him. He highly values a strong work ethic and blind faith. His personal pursuits are the piano that he's pursuing later in life, golfing, biking, swimming, and he loves dancing. It was just an inspiring run through one of today's premier influencers, his healthy habits. Get Rock's book, if you haven't, The Power of Your Identity. It's free. And take the life assessment at rockthomas.com. All right, here we go with Rock Thomas's healthy habits and some new perspectives I think you'll want to adopt for your own habits. Well, Rock, it's always interesting for me to talk through the Habits Show with somebody who lives and teaches habits, good, healthy habits. We just talked about them in the show, the original one, 675. Folks, don't miss that one. As a preface to this, I said there's some questions I still had for him, but I was going to save them for right here. You know, the number one spoke is physical and nutrition, which I love seeing at your site, rockthomas.com, that you start. You have the personal assessment. I would really encourage everybody to do it. It's a great snapshot of where you are. And you start off with the physical and nutrition. And yet in our first show together, I also appreciated when you said, to some degree, you said starting with the physical aspect, the energy that you're able to bring to anything you're doing is a foundational piece. So I appreciate that that's our number one as well. So what do you, Rock Thomas, today, what are the primary things that you employ for your daily physical and nutrition habits?
I'm a foodie and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family owned since 1935. And I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste. And right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of 7 requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Well, I think we've been drugged by the food industry. And after studying from a lot of different people that have great levels of energy, I realized you don't really need to eat that much. So the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is I do something called prime my body, agitate my body. So I move my body, whether it's 57 push-ups or actually getting on my bike, heading to the gym, swimming, working out, what have you. On days when I'm not doing too much, I'll often spend 3 hours at the gym. I like it. It's a bit of a ritual. I'll play tennis and then I'll go work out and I'll go sit in the steamer and meditate and do a cold plunge and then have something to eat and then maybe do some stretching or play a little basketball or something like that or do a yoga class. So I love to work out and be physical. But when I'm, you know, back to my hard charging years, when I was building my businesses, it was more about a 45-minute workout first thing in the morning. As far as the nutrition piece is concerned, it usually starts with 8 ounces of water because our bodies tend to be hydrated more than people know. And I eat very light. So the morning might be a banana, might be some oatmeal, might be some eggs. And honestly, I love salad. I'm very blessed. I love salad. So I eat salad generally twice a day, some fish and some chicken. And then once in a while, I'll have something else. I snack on things like almonds, and I don't eat a lot. I really don't eat a lot. I have a tiny stomach. And like I said, eating is overrated. 50% of our energy is used to digest food. And most of the food that most people eat is crap. So, you know, you're just like, okay, let me put crap in my body, slow myself down, cause my body to have to work really hard to either store it in fat cells to protect it from my bloodstream, or to digest it and then get rid of it and tire myself down. Last time you had Thanksgiving and you ate a whole bunch and pumpkin pie, did you have massive amounts of energy, or did you feel like sitting on the couch and doing nothing? So people think that sleeping and food give them energy. It's actually the opposite. It's living a passionate, purposeful life and eating less and being more active. Energy creates energy. So it's not that complicated. It's not that sexy. I'm not a foodie. A lot of people love food and have rituals around it. I'm not that individual, but it's worked for me and allowed me to remain ruggedly handsome. And at 57 years old, I often compete with 20-year-olds in push-up contests and usually beat them. Because when you pay the price to practice in private, you get to perform like a public like a pro in public. And because I do it consistently, you know, I have a stamina around that. And I believe, honestly, energy is the edge. And my father died of cancer at 62. And I started to study what were some of the criteria that create that. Like, you can model anything, Kevin. So if you want to be really fat, go to a fat person and say, well, what do you eat? And how do you exercise? And what do you do after dinner? And you'll learn that they sit around and they eat potato chips and they snack and do different things. And if you want to gain weight, do that and you'll gain weight. If you want to be somebody who's incredibly healthy and have a lot of energy, then go to somebody that has that and model that. It's not that complicated. So you just have to decide what's the result that you want, find the person that has it and pick their brain and then lean into it.
I mean, I love your habits there. I am a foodie, and yet I'm right with you. I don't eat that much. We have too much research on the benefits of not eating that much. And yeah, the amount of energy we have to go through to process our food. So my perspective is actually given to me by my business partner, who's a doc. He said, we got to be able to eat lunch and go for a run afterwards. So bank your mounts on there. And I love the 57 pushups at the age of 56 right now, because that's been another one. We've got pull-up bars here in the office. I've got them at my house, and said, I want to be the 80-year-old guy who can do 10 pull-ups. The only way I'm going to be that guy is if I'm doing them every single day. So we'll have that contest when we get together at some point. Wow. As well. Family and friends, Rock, is the next one. And the things that you do to keep those close relationships in your life healthy and well. And you talked, gosh, it was in the last show, and you talked about going through a kind of a season or cycle with your family during real estate time, that early in the year when most of the sales are happening, you would admittedly say, hey, I'm not going to be around as much, but the next 8 months, I'm going to commit to you. I mean, you had some intentional things. So that's what I'm pressing into with your family, with your close friends, those who mean a lot to you. What are the habits you employ for those healthy relationships?
You know, I think if anything, that might be the area of weakness for me, because I grew up in a family that didn't have any traditions. Mm. And I think I could have done a better job there. I always took my kids away for 2 weeks at Christmas. I did get divorced, so there were some complications around scheduling, being with the mom, et cetera. But I always had tradition around taking them and doing something really cool and fun with them and creating treasure hunts and things like that, that were very creative, fun, and active based. I, 4 years ago, bought my 79-year-old mother a house and moved into the house with her for a period of time while we did some renovations to work through some things that weren't complete with her. And today we have a phenomenal relationship, and I will call her probably twice a week and have a little chit chat. She's what we call a mismatcher, or has been. Most of her a mismatcher. So if you say, know, gosh, it's a beautiful day out. She goes, well, yes, but it's probably going to rain. She's one of these, you know, contrarian people. But recently she's done some work and she's not like that anymore. And it's become much more pleasant conversation. I've had some incidents where I cut the carrots inappropriately in the kitchen, and she'll because she came from a scarcity mindset with going through the war, I cut three carrots in a row and I cut a little bit too much off for her liking. She would literally throw like a green pepper at my head. And for a while, I had a difficulty relating to my mom because I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel seen. But we've done a lot of work and we worked through that, and it's great. With my kids, we have this little app called not Boomerang, but Marco Polo, where you can record a video and it's like a text message to that person or the group of the three of my kids. So we communicate because I live in Phoenix and they live in Los Angeles and Montreal. We can communicate a little bit more pictorially that way. And so I've nurtured the relationship that way. As far as friends, I have two mastermind groups that I started 6 years ago called GoBundance and M1. And I have over 500 people in those groups. And the first group is 200 men. So I've worked consciously on developing more male relationships because men generally don't do that so well as women. So I've made a comeback, I think, Kevin, from a kid that grew up with parents that were not social at all and had no traditions. I mean, on Christmas Day, I remember installing a door in a house on an extension, and birthdays were a pain in the butt for my dad. So I've had to work a little bit in that area, and there's still room for improvement for me, quite frankly.
You know, I will have to say, folks, if you go to Rock's website, rockthomas.com, and he does talk about M1 and talks about some of the work he's doing in those groups, I have heard more and more and more in recent months, years on masterminds. We tend to think about those for business growth and whatnot, and yet I keep hearing from men specifically, I'm sure it's just as much with women, but I happen to hang out with guys, and that the biggest benefit, yeah, they got great ideas. They got a $1 million idea. They grew their business, yada, yada. But the biggest benefit is just the flat out friendships. And I see pictures of people going to, you know, events, and the best thing is that they went to the beach together. They went to the restaurant together and they built these lasting relationships. So there's my testimony to what I'm seeing in masterminds and right to what Rock said. But yeah, go to his site. You can see what he's doing there. Third spoke, Rock, is mental. Obviously a substantial one. And I'm sure that you have some specific things that you're doing in your daily life. What we talked about in the last show about standing guard at the door of your mind. And we ended the show, I think, with that perspective. So what are the mental habits you're employing on a pretty much daily, if not momentary basis?
Well, I think I'd be remiss not to say gratitude is a muscle, and practicing gratitude is something that we can all do. And it can be just like this morning I was lying in bed and I woke up and I'm like, man, this is the greatest bed. It's cozy. It's warm. And just appreciating that before I got up, I played the piano for an hour and a half at 5:30 this morning and just thought, how lucky am I that I get to do that? So I think an attitude of gratitude, as cliche as it is really, really important. The second piece I would say, though, is that nothing in life has meaning until you assign a meaning to it. And I really believe I've gotten very good at assigning empowering meanings. So if you have a deal with a client, the contract dies, a lot of people respond to that in a negative way and go, I can't believe it. I put in all that effort into it. Now the deal dies. This person's a liar. They don't follow through on their word. And they disempower themselves. They fall victim to the environment. I was at the airport the other day, and they announced that the flight was going to be delayed by 2 hours. We had to change gates. And you could see the room, the physiology of the room drop, and people like, oh, and watch them pre-playing all of the problems in their life. And I purposely stood up, put my hands up in the air, and I said to myself, I said, who am I going to meet? Huh. And got up, started walking to the other gate, and I'm looking around. I'm like positively setting intention, bringing energy to the moment. And there's John Assaraf. And I wanted to meet John Assaraf. I don't know if you know him, but he was in The Secret. He's a personal development guy. So I just beeline straight to him because I felt this was the intention. This was what it was meant to be. The meaning of me missing that flight was to meet somebody else who was going to empower my life and give me a new change. And I walked right up to him and said, John, I was supposed to meet you, Rock Thomas. And he goes, how do we know each other? I go, I don't know, but my flight was delayed by 2 hours and I was supposed to meet you. He goes, wow, that's cool. I'm glad we're meeting. And he was just bought right into my energy. We exchanged numbers, introduced me to his two sons. And then we ended up, he ended up coming on my podcast. He sent me his book and we've had this incredible relationship since. Same event, different response, a conscious response to use what's available. So to me, what's my habit? My habit is to constantly say, what's great about this? What's great about this? How do I use this? How do I get better? How do I grow? How do I learn? How do I celebrate? How do I appreciate? And then you talk about the tool to a positive attitude is just to expect things to work out to serve you, even when it's a bend in the road that you weren't expecting. Lost all my hair to alopecia. I thought, what's great about this? Never have a bad hair day again in my life. Yeah. Save money on shampoo. Save time to get my hair cut. Yeah. And now I'm a member at Massage Envy. I get massages. And once a month, I purposely walk out of that place and I say, all the money I saved on shampoo and haircuts paid for my massage. And I literally physically, because physical is memorable, I go, yes, alopecia. Thank you for that massage. So nothing has meaning but the meaning we give it. I could for the rest of my life go, my God, I lost all my hair. I'm bald. I look older. Or I turn it around and I have it serve me. And I think that maybe the greatest habit you could ever have is to appreciate everything around you, utilize what's around you and make the best of it. And when you build that muscle, you become a champion, you become a hero, you become a leader, and people look at you when it goes down, they go, Brock will figure it out.
Yeah. That aspect of taking that gratitude and embracing it, recognizing it goes to, we recently interviewed Rick Hansen. He has the book. It's Hardwiring Happiness, but his new one's Resilient. I don't know, have the show number in front of me, but folks, you'll hear a lot more on that. Well, hey, I'm going to take that also as divine. I have, I think it was last week, I got this book. You'll recognize that.
Yes.
By John Assaraf. I can't say that I know him, but I guess his publicist or PR company, whatever. I have a signed copy actually from him. I looked at it. I was immediately intrigued, but I haven't followed up with him. So I am now going to take up that recommendation. I'll drop your name and say, remember that airport?
100%.
Okay, beautiful. And thanks to these sponsors for bringing us today's show.
Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million of product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin. Friends, I'm pretty candid about my lack of financial prowess. Money and numbers are fairly Greek to me, so I need a lot of guidance. One of my closest friends is a wildly successful wealth manager, and I'm working on some financial literacy and just continually seeking guidance. So I ask you to check out yahoofinance.com. Nobody knows it all, and Yahoo Finance is an incredible resource for the rookies like me or the seasoned investors. You know, before my dad passed away recently, Dave Ramsey and his wife Sharon flew down to visit. We all got to spend a day together, and I was at yahoofinance.com just now. I saw multiple news flashes from Dave and other people that you respect, and they're hitting so many of the hottest areas in finance today. So it's a place to get a snapshot of all aspects of your financial interests, and if you have them, your portfolios.
I hadn't realized Yahoo Finance is the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. So for your comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. One more time. YahooFinance.com. Most of today, you will be indoors, likely your home or your office. I am as well. Even with my treks out into the woods, I spend a lot of time inside. And we're going to take about 20,000 breaths. According to the EPA, the indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted. At my studio, we have heat being forced through old ducts. I walk on carpet full of years of junk. No idea what's floating in the air that I'm taking constant gulps of. The solution is an air purifier, and Air Doctor is just the best. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, bacteria, viruses. They do it so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Go to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Kevin, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So to get this special offer, go to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code Kevin, airdoctorpro.com, promo code Kevin. Hey, the next one here is financial. And I do know enough about your story, Rock, to know that you, we talked about it in the first show, that you went from at the bottom of the barrel financially. And now, as you've talked about, you don't need to work another day in your life. So obviously some significant things. Obviously, you've made a lot of money, but what are the habits that you have employed to get where you're at? And maybe some of those that you still do financially to keep yourself well there.
So two things that I tell people, if you bring these two things, I can help you become a millionaire financially free. Number one is work ethic. Show up early, stay late, be willing to do whatever your mentor instructs you to do. A little blind faith there, if you will. And the second thing is passionate curiosity. Is just be really, really a great student. I say that my ability to capture the essence of something and apply that into my life at a level of mastery, even more right now, is what separates me from most people. Most people, if you're a speaker, a trainer, you watch people at a seminar, most people, not everybody, but most people are not taking notes. They're not really very enthusiastic or energetic. So they're just waiting for life to pour something into their brain. What I'm learning, I'm leaning in. I'm paying attention. I'm looking for the nuances, for the distinction. And I'm thinking, how do I utilize that? And when will I utilize that? As soon as possible, and ingrain it into my brain and then practice it over and over and over again so that it's part of my identity. And then I'm now evolved. I've grown and I have a new tool on my tool belt. So for me, success has come financially by paying attention to other people's success, as I did with real estate. And then you start looking around you. For instance, today, Airbnb is a thing. So I have Airbnbs. Turo, you can rent your car and you can create revenue when you're out of town. So we teach people how to do that. There's tax liens, tax deeds. There's all these little niches that most people don't know about, but that are very lucrative if you bring your work ethic and your curiosity. And those are the things that have enabled me to write books, promote other people's products. Probably 12 or 15 of my streams of revenue are me promoting somebody else's product or service that I believe in. Yeah. I'm like really passionate about it. You should go here. You should do that. You should sign up for this. Like the guy who teaches Airbnb. I sell tons of people to his courses because he's so good. Within 2 weeks, you could be creating revenue, even if you have zero money. Hello, where is that possible today? My mother, 83 years old, Airbnb's a room in her house that I bought her. And she makes $62.50 a night. How? She's got a good work ethic, and she got my son, her grandson, to teach her how to do Airbnb, and she was able to buy herself a new Honda Civic with the money she makes from Airbnb. So if my 83-year-old mother can do it, what's your excuse?
Yeah. Man, what you said on notes, Rock, is a huge one. I love that piece of it. I was mentored in doing that. And if it's important, take notes. Honor the other person you're listening to, take notes, but also help remember and lean in. I like that. Lean into learning. Matter of fact, you come from real estate. This was by Joe Stump. He owns By Referral Only. It's a real estate.
I know him.
That was 20 years ago, and I have him to thank for that modeling. Five, fifth spoke here, spiritual. And I saw you speak to that in the assessment on your website, to the spiritual aspect. So talk to us about what you do in that spoke, your daily habits and what you employ in your spiritual world.
Well, it's interesting you have that book awareness, because that's one of the words that I use a lot now. Is my goal is to be as aware as possible. Yeah. So my cravings, my habits, my doubts, my moods, the emotions that are bubbling up. I went to India 2 years ago for a 1 week meditation retreat. I've spent some time in Bhutan on a yoga retreat. I've gone to Vietnam and to Machu Picchu with my tribe. So as I have handled the money game more and more, and I've handled the, you know, my health is touch wood, God bless, is phenomenal. I find spirituality now becomes more like that main thing. So I meditate more. I'm into music more. It feels more grounded. I feel more connected to source. And that's now becomes more of the important piece to me. I now even sometimes I watch movies or I see a movie coming out that I used to think would be fun. And I look at it and I go, it's like trash. I wouldn't even want to 5 minutes of looking at that. That would just be like, feel like junk food for my mind. So I'm more into documentaries. I'm more into all that kind of thing. So do I go to church and pray? I don't go to church. I do pray, but it's more to a universal energy. And that's just what I was exposed to. But I think that that's where it's at. I think, like Wayne Dyer said, I think we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. Yeah. And my goal is to push my own evolution awareness as much as possible, to be kind and loving to people. I spent a lot of time in my life being a warrior because that's what I grew up. I still have the sword. It's just in the sheath a lot more and doesn't need to be pulled out. Before, I had it out swinging it around all the time, chopping things up and being aggressive. Now my goal is to be a little bit more gentle, a little bit more supportive, a little bit more loving, but at the same time, a force for good with standards for an epic life. And I think that that's achievable.
Just prior to when your show publishes with us, Rock, we'll have had a show with Johnny Powlard, who is the One Giant Mind app. Here's his book, The Golden Sequence, on meditation. And part of my testimony, even in the intro, which I wrote recently to that show, is that it's got to be close to 75% of the folks that I do this habit show right here testify to meditation. And whether they are, regardless of their religious aspect, that they are maintaining as brain training, which goes back to the programming that we talked about so much in the first show together. Number six spoke, Rock, is career. And the things that you do, have done and do to keep your career in the place that it needs to be. And I know with you, like almost everybody I talk to, you have so many opportunities, so many different directions you could go. So what are the things that keep you on the path you feel like you need to be for a healthy career?
Me, we, they. So what I typically do is I master something. Like when I started my real estate office, started with one person in my garage. Then I added another person, then I added another person, and I have them watch what I do, my listing presentation, my sales technique, my phone calls, et cetera. And then I give them a piece of that to do and I watch them. It's kind of like how you taught your child to, you know, maybe chop oranges or whatever. You say, look, here's what you do. Cut it this way, not that way. You cut it this way and this way here. You hold the knife. Let me help you. And you bit by bit do it until you get to the point where they've done it over and over and over again. They have confidence and you can leave the room and they can do it. So I've built most of my businesses that way, by being in the trenches, by being a doer, figuring out how to do it. And now I have two real estate offices with 225 salespeople. I have managers that I've hired. I used to do their job, but now they do it because I've watched them do it. I have a once a month or once a week meeting with my key people from my different companies, and we talk about how I can support them. It's mostly about me now working for them. They've got the opportunity of running my company, and I need to go, okay, so what do you need? You need to, better tools for hiring people. You need renovations. You need to hold an event. Okay, you want me in town for the awards gala. Great, I'll prepare a speech, et cetera. And then once that is kind of on cruise control, then I can go off and start another business. As far as me personally, I have coaches, I have mentors in different areas. I have my mastermind group where we talk about different books that we're reading, like Traction, how to run meetings, how to hire, how to fire, how to communicate, how to inspire, how to create culture. All those pieces that the best business people are employing, we're constantly in a modality of uploading, improving, and getting better and better. So I have a metaphor called support, encourage, and challenge. And we know that different people in the company at different times need more support. Some need encouragement and some need challenge. So depending on where they're at, we employ those different modalities. So for me, it's one business at a time, build it up, then go to the next one once I have somebody in there that can run it. And that's what I enjoy doing. I think also you have to understand who you are. I'm an entrepreneur, so I like to start things. I'm not a maintainer. I can finish, I can maintain, but my preference is the vision part of it. I see what most people don't see. I have the ideas for it, and then I need to assemble the team, and then I leave, and they do the day-to-day operation, which bores me as a general rule, because I have that creative, fast-thinking mind. Doesn't make me better than anybody else. You just got to know who you are. And so I surround myself with people that are good at managing and maintaining operations. And other people are really good at finishing the detail work, et cetera. So you got to know, have a team of people that fit the different roles. Mine is, I'm an idea guy. I have like 100 ideas a day. I need somebody that is going to put those ideas in a parking lot. Otherwise, the team gets overwhelmed. Like, well, we can't do those 100 ideas. No, we'll do those three this month, rock. The others have to wait. But I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. They go, I know, but it's got to wait. So that's my answer for your career question.
Yeah, I have come to realize that the people I adore most in my work, I think, are the managers, because I am no good at it at all. Personal is the last one. And I so appreciate you. You were up at 5:30 this morning, spent, would you say, an hour and a half playing the piano. That's the question, is the personal piece. Now, all of this is personal, but what are the things that you do? Put them in the fun category, the play category, the just I do it for joy category.
Well, I played golf at a tournament yesterday, so that was fun. I bike, I swim, I play almost any sport, given the opportunity, whether it be ping pong, tennis, volleyball, et cetera. I love music. I love to dance, and I play the drums also. So I'm toggling between the two. I enjoy a nice kind of cuddling with my lady, watching a good movie, or just kind of being at home relaxed. And I'm blessed with having two mastermind groups. I've averaged 28 trips a year for the last 6 years. It's about 180 trips. So beaches, playing, hiking, out in nature, mountain biking, skydiving, zip lining. I mean, you name it, I've probably done it. And so there's no lack there. There's tons of stuff. I would say I'm a more physical person than, say, to go sit and watch a baseball game for 3 hours. I'd rather be playing. Yeah. So that's just my style. I'm a little bit more of a get up and get at it kind of guy. And I like to, like, I'll get on my bike and just drive to the gym and hang out there for 2-3 hours. So I don't know if that's exciting or fun for other people, but that's kind of how I roll.
Sounds fun for me. We would enjoy a day together, no doubt. Next time I'm in Phoenix. Man, thank you so much, Rock, for giving us just a behind the scenes and a snapshot at the things that you're doing day to day, walking them out so that you can be the person that you want to be. And thanks for bringing that person to us and blessing us with your message.
Oh, my pleasure. It's a real pleasure to meet you, Kevin.
Thanks, Rock. Well, friends, I bet this has you inspired to instill some new habits into your habits and healthy rituals. Again, get Rock's book, The Power of Your Identity, free and take his life assessment at rockthomas.com. Coming up next in show 678, we have our Q&A show. Who needs a coach, consultant, or counselor? Who doesn't? And if you are one, what do you need for a healthy and prosperous business? We have two focal points here. One, if you are a human who wants to progress in your life, getting guidance can be incredibly powerful. Should you get some? From who? A coach, a consultant, or a counselor? And we'll talk about the differentiating factors between those titles. Two, if you are or want to be a coach, consultant, or counselor, and want to increase your sanity, help your clients more, and make more money, what can you do? Well, we kick off with a three-minute clip from Zig Ziglar where he talks about the reality that we all have weak areas and could probably use help. And if we have a healthy self-image, we will seek out help. He actually tells a true story of his son and Ziglar CEO, Tom Ziglar, who needed to get help for himself at one point, but though I know he's done it a lot of times. From this message, I posted this question on Facebook. Who has ever hired a coach or consultant or counselor with good results? Well, we got a lot of responses from a wide variety of experiences. I had Michelle Prince join me. She's coached in many areas of business throughout her life, and she's gotten coached as well, which you'll hear about. Right now, I will say Michelle is focused on book publishing, nonfiction, and a lot with business people who want to expand their message. If that sounds like you, I would check her out at michelleprince.com. But what the question led to was hitting what I believe are the key topics, those who could benefit from paid help, which I think is all of us, that they need to know. And we hit the key elements for those who are coaches, consultants, and counselors, or want to be, that they need to know for themselves, their businesses, and their clients. As our entire listening audience is here to progress, I don't know anyone this show is not highly relevant for. Till then, thank you as always for letting me walk with you as we inspire our true performance together.